Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 50 minutes every afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Mark Crutcher will be with us today of Pro-Life America. He's got a couple of interesting stories over on his website we'll talk about. One that I don't think is any news to most pro-lifers, but it certainly seems to be that maybe there's a little bit more awareness in the mainstream, and we'll talk about the disproportionate number of African Americans who are unfortunately targeted by abortion. We'll discuss that with him. We'll also talk about this terrible story. I'm not sure this is a domestic story from what I gather. I try to get into the link, and then for some reason I had some trouble getting there, but the story is there on the site of and this happens. Mark has certainly profiled this a number of times, of not only a rape, but an impregnation of a woman seeking an abortion with her doctor. This took place in the supposed abortion facility. So, interesting situation there. And all of that leading to Lady Gaga seemingly embracing her faith a little bit more, perhaps, and revealing her sexual assault as a teenager. All of that this afternoon. Back with more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit BreadboxMedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Mark Crutcher joins us once a month from Life Dynamics, ProLifeAmerica.com. Mark, how are you?
I am just fine, Leo. How are you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you. A couple of things to talk about. One story posted over on your page on your news feed talking about the disproportionate number of African Americans targeted by abortion. We'll get to that, and I think we've always known that, but maybe there's a little bit more of an awakening to the mainstream. We would hope that that's the case. And then I wanted to get into this because I think there's right now maybe a big question mark, some degree of concern, confusion, consternation, you name it, all of the above when it comes to Donald Trump and his pro-life stance. And there have been pro-life leaders who have come out and endorsed, it seems, Trump to say, well, he certainly is. But the last I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, he still is not necessarily in favor of defunding Planned Parenthood and has even defended them for the good that they do.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of people. And one of my best friends, Carol Everett, and she actually ran abortion clinics.
Hey, can I tell you this, Mark? I just heard her speak at an event, and I was blown away by her. I could not believe, because we've talked about this, and you chronicle, and I don't want to change the subject, but you just mentioned her, and I fell immediately in love with this woman when I met her. And the story that she told about the calculated approach, my goodness, right? How she was, I mean, and it was greed-driven, money-driven. She wanted to be a millionaire, and she figured out how to do it through the abortion industry. It's chilling. It's just amazing, her story.
It is. And, of course, I've had some interesting interactions with her over the years, because used to, when she was a pro-abort here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I used to debate with her, and then all of a sudden she's on our side, you know, so that was always kind of weird.
But, yeah.
She's one of my best friends, and matter of fact, on our Life Talk TV show, starting later this month, she's going to be one of the regular guest hosts.
From, oh, I mean, great.
One of the hosts from now on.
She's amazing. I was familiar peripherally with her, right? I mean, I'd heard the name, but I did not know the details of this story. And my goodness, wow, amazing.
And of course, I don't know if you know this or not, or if she talked about it in her speech. I haven't been to one of her speeches in years, but the way she came out was she actually got caught by a local radio television station doing abortions on women who weren't pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if she's still telling that story.
Yeah, she told the story. Yeah. But what was interesting, I love the fact that she said it was because of this consultant that came into her abortion business who prayed with her, right? And that was just amazing that and saying, "Well, we believe somebody's going to have to be out of this organization." Within the next 30 days, little did she know it was going to be her, right? So
her, right.
What an amazing story. So did you have anything to do with that exposé?
Which expose is that?
Into her obituary that she was actually performing?
No. At that time, the only interaction I ever had with her was to argue with her over the radio.
I got you.
Over a radio interview like this, or if we both are in a debate at a school or something.
I got you.
Anyway, so we know, when you look at people like Carol, or there's many, many others, high-profile pro-lifers that were at one time pro-abortion, and sometimes actually involved in the abortion industry.
Mm-hmm, right.
We know that conversions are possible.
Yes, absolutely.
But there are signs you can look for to tell if they're real or not. And sometimes they're subtle, and sometimes they're just kind of things that you just get a feeling about. I think you've got to have your head in the sand if you think that Donald Trump's conversion to the pro-life position is anything more than pragmatic politics.
Hmm.
He was basically always a liberal Democrat. He decides he's going to run for president. He's not going to run as a Democrat. He's going to run as a Republican. And somebody had to sit him down and say, "Well, look, here's the problem, Donald. If you're going to run as a Republican, because of the Republican Party platform and the sheer number of pro-lifers that support the Republican Party, you're going to have to be pro-life." And, you know, Trump has got this ability to go out and tell people that basically he's kind of crooked, and it doesn't seem to make any difference to him.
Wow, yeah.
And so he comes out and he says things like, I gave money to Hillary Clinton because I was a businessman, and you had to support both sides in order to get them to do things for you in the city hall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's corruption. I don't care how you can parse it all you want to, but that's corruption.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to bother anybody.
But no.
Pro-lifers need to be a little more wary because the stakes are high, so high.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never convince me, and I would argue till I drop, and unless I saw something different in the future from this guy, you're never going to convince me he's pro-life.
Hmm.
There's just simply no way.
Right.
And, you know, he's even made statements about, not necessarily about abortion, but about all kinds of issues, where he points out, he says, "Look, I'm a deal maker. I'm a negotiator.
Mm-hmm.
I go get things done."
Right.
Well, that's right. That's what he's done. What makes us think for one minute that something comes along that he wants to get done, and he sees a roadblock in the way to getting it done, and the way that he can get beyond that roadblock is to negotiate away something that relates to the abortion issue?
Mm-hmm.
Do we think for one moment he would hesitate to do that?
Right.
And, you know, and again, the Planned Parenthood deal is a good example of that. What if a bill were to come land on his desk from Congress that defunds Planned Parenthood completely, prohibits any funding going to them? And there's another bill that he wants to get passed, and the Democrats come sit down with him and say, "Hey, look, you're the negotiator, you're the big deal maker, right? This bill that you want is not going to happen if you sign that bill on Planned Parenthood." Do we think for a moment that he wouldn't be inclined to sell the unborn down the river?
Right. No.
I think what we have to understand is that there's all kinds of variations on pro-life out there. And not in your mind or in my mind, but in the minds of the public and in the minds of politicians.
Right. A spectrum. A huge pro-life spectrum.
Yeah. There's you know, so Donald Trump can come out here and says, I'm pro-life. But to me, that means he's politically pro-life from the things that you've heard him say. No one who's pro-life is going to, and let me underline this, no one who's pro-life is going to come out here and say, I think we ought to be open to funding Planned Parenthood. I'm a pragmatic politician, which is what he said.
Right. And that, and to my knowledge, Mark, that opinion, or at least that statement that he made, and that was only a few weeks back, has not been re-refuted by him,
no.
Right? Because he's done that several times. He's come out and said something. They said, well, you know, I didn't really, you didn't hear me correctly or whatever. I didn't understand the question or whatever. We haven't heard him backpedal or restate that.
No, he hasn't.
No.
And, you know, he's... again, I'll say no one is pro-life who comes out here and says, I'm open to the idea of giving money to these people as long as they don't use it for abortion.
Right, sure.
And it's like saying someone is not a racist when they come out and say, look, I won't give money to the Klan if they're going to use it to lynch people.
Mm-hmm.
But they're doing all kinds of other good things, and I would give them money to do those things. No, unless you're a racist, you don't give money to the Klan for any reason whatsoever. Well, if you're pro-life, you don't support Planned Parenthood, and you don't give them money for any reason whatsoever if you're pro-life.
Yeah, it's the unfortunate thing that I'm saying, you know, and granted, as we talk about these, we're talking about policy issues, we're talking about principles and certainly things that we hold, especially as Catholics and evangelicals together when it comes to the pro-life issue, and not necessarily telling you who to vote for, who not to vote for, but there has to be some degree of discernment when you come down to looking at an issue of this nature. Now, the challenge is, and I think that this could be a very real challenge, unless we see something surprising, which we still may see, Mark, and I think
we've already seen stuff that's surprising.
We've seen a lot of surprising stuff, but we still, I mean, we know this, the Republican Party is imploding, has imploded, however you want to look at it.
Right.
And it would not surprise me if some degree of implosion happens on the Democrat side as well, because we still see Sanders gaining steam. I mean, he's still winning primaries. And in the cases where even the delegate count has gone to Clinton, he's been darn close behind her in every single race. And all it would take is the gumption of the GOP to say, you know what, we're going to run our own independent candidate who represents conservative values, for him to make a bid as well. And then we've got the craziest race we've ever seen in the history of the presidency. I mean, anything could happen at this point.
I think we've already got that.
Well, right. Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's difficult for those of us who are over a certain age. I'm 68.
Right.
And if you'd have told me 50 years ago when I was 18 years old, and I was pretty politically attuned even at that age. I always liked being involved in politics. Mm-hmm. My parents were, and so forth. And aware of the culture that's around us. If you'd have told me when I was a senior in high school that we would ever be in the situation that we're in today in this country, I would have said, you need to be locked up. That'll never happen. And yet, here we are. I mean, we've got in my view, on the Republican side, is a guy who's no more qualified to be president than I am.
Right.
And I promise you, I'm not.
I was going to say, you may be more qualified, quite frankly.
I doubt that, but I would put myself up at least as qualified.
Right.
In my view, he's kind of a buffoon. He's liable to do anything, say anything.
We're going to leave it right there, Mark. We're getting close to the break, and we're going to come back and talk more. Mark Crutcher with us this afternoon. Life Dynamics, Pro-Life America, back in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, and Mark Crutcher joins us once a month from Life Dynamics, ProLifeAmerica.com. Mark, welcome back.
Yes, sir.
We're talking up to the break there, this challenge I think that we find ourselves in as pro-lifers when we're looking at this presidential race and really trying to make an informed decision. What do we do? How do we to really see the possibilities here? You're talking about the compromise that could be undoubtedly with a deal maker, somebody who identifies themselves as that. And I would say that I would be okay with a deal maker if I knew what kind of deals they were making, right? If I could trust the kind of deals they would make.
If you could tell me, yeah, and I don't have a problem with it. And again, you and I are not trying to tell people who to vote for.
No, of course not.
What we're trying to tell people is to vote with your eyes open and not to go and vote for a guy like Donald Trump thinking you're voting for a hardcore pro-lifer.
Right.
But if you tell me that a guy's a deal maker, I mean, we're all deal makers, right? Are you married? You're married. You're a deal maker,
yeah.
Right? You can't survive unless you're a deal maker.
That's right.
But there has to be things that you say, I won't compromise on that. I won't make a deal on that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. Convictions. You got to have convictions.
You got to have some convictions. And I don't see on any of these cultural issues, I don't think anybody can tell me that Donald Trump is a believer in any of these cultural issues to the point that he would sit down across the table from somebody and says, I won't deal on the abortion issue.
Right.
I'll deal with you on taxes. I'll deal with you on immigration. I'll deal with you on this issue. But I'm not dealing with you on the abortion issue like you and I would do if we were there.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
You're not going to tell me that you believe that that's Donald Trump. But the what we were talking about before the break is, we've now gotten ourselves into a situation where we got this guy on one side, and on the other side, we got a choice between two hardcore Marxists, one of whom openly admits that he's a Marxist.
Right.
Right? So we've got two godless Marxists on one side, and this kind of buffoonish type character on the other side, and that's what we've come down to.
Right.
Now, where the rubber's going to meet the road on this thing, Leo, for people like me and you, is in November. Let's just say that there's not a third party, there's no shenanigans being pulled, and right. I'm not convinced, by the way, that the Republicans still aren't going to pull some shenanigan. No,
I am not either. I think we could all be surprised at the convention, right?
Yeah, I'm not prepared at this moment to say that it's an absolute certainty that Donald Trump's going to be the nominee.
Exactly.
But let's just say that it is, and let's say that it's Hillary Clinton on the other side, which is the if you had to bet right now, that's the scenario that you'd bet for.
Absolutely.
What do we do? We can sit here and say, look, we don't trust Trump. We don't think that the abortion issue or any of these other cultural issues are important to him. But we know they're important to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
And we know what she's going to do. So are we going to be in a situation come November where we're not voting for somebody, we're voting against somebody?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something we have to discern as we get between here and there, right?
Father Frank and I have talked about this before. Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life, and he makes the point. He says sometimes you vote for one person to keep another person out.
Right.
Now it's sad that we've come down to that. And that in a nation with 320 million people or whatever it is, we've come down to these two.
Right.
You know, this is the best we can do out of 320 million people. This is it. But that's where we are.
Right.
And again, I've had pro-lifers call me recently saying, well, you know, Mr. Trump is this and he's that and we think he's the solution of all our problems and yada, yada, yada. And don't you think he's pro-life? And I say, no, I don't. I don't think it's something he feels in his heart. It's something he expresses in his head.
Right.
Because this is what he has to do to get elected. But if you believe that this is something, a core value with him, I'm not sure the guy has core values, but if you believe he does, I don't see how you can argue that this is one of them.
Well, it's unfortunately a confusing time, I think, for a lot. And you know, this is true of any election. We want to find the migration of our principles. We want to be able to find the gravity of that in a candidate and say, okay, this is where we're gonna put our faith and our stock, and we're going to vote with our consciences based on that. But it's really tough when, as you say, you might be just simply faced with which way do I go to keep something else from happening? And that's not the kind of that's not a conviction that you'd want to have in this. And like I say, I think we both agree that we don't know at this point what may happen come convention time, what may still happen even if Trump is the nominee on the Republican side, what could happen even with a third party. Who knows? I mean, there's been enough speculation and enough discussion about this already that just about anything could happen. So, you know, I'm honestly holding out my crazy political fantasies for four candidates in this race, one of whom I can choose.
Right. <What's it? laughs> Well, you know, there's one thing I've been telling people lately, there's a you know what the difference between Bigfoot and principles in American politics is?
Bigfoot has actually been spotted.
Bigfoot might actually exist. that's the distinction between those two. But, you know, I want to make sure people also understand something else that I think is extraordinarily important here. Yes, this is an important election. I mean, the next person may appoint three or four Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
What this election might determine what politics is going to be like in America 40 years from now.
Sure.
Easily.
Yeah.
But let's make something very clear about this abortion issue, and you've heard me say this before. I've said it many times on your show. The solution to the abortion issue is not in Washington, D.C. It's not in Austin, Texas. Not in Springfield, Illinois. It's not in any state capital or the national capital. It's in the streets. We're winning this thing in the streets,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to continue to win. I don't care who's president.
Right.
If Hillary Clinton becomes president, I mean, imagine this. We went through Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in both of those cases, the pro-life movement came out stronger than when it went in.
It gained steam, yeah, in both of those.
Right.
Yep, absolutely.
We shut down more abortion clinics during the Clinton administration than we ever did again in any Republican administration.
Oh, yeah.
And Bill Clinton, most people don't even pay attention to this. In reality, George Bush increased funding to Planned Parenthood more than Bill Clinton did.
Wow.
So, you know, let's put this stuff in perspective. Yeah, this is important. And, I mean, I think we're fixing to be treated to an enormous amount of theater over the next 6 months or so.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Jeez.
Can you imagine what's about to happen?
No. Well, I mean, yes, I can imagine. It's going to be the most ridiculous debate season we've ever seen. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I don't think you can imagine, Leo. I don't think Walt Disney had the kind of imagination it takes to figure out what's about to happen with this crowd.
Yeah.
But the fact is, we're about to see theater, political theater, like we've never seen in the history of the world. It's about to happen.
Right.
And we're going to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's don't put more importance on it than it is. Yes, it's important. And yes, it's important who appoints the Supreme Court and who's holding all these offices. But the fact is, the pro-life movement's going to win this battle no matter who takes over.
Hmm.
And we've shown that we can do that in the past. We've shown we can win without the Republicans. We've shown we can win without the Democrats. We've shut down. You know, I've talked about on your show many times, Leo. When I started Life Dynamics in 1992, there were 2,126 freestanding abortion clinics in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's 525.
Yeah.
The abortion rate has gone from 1.7 million to less than 1 million. Now, 1 million dead babies is still a national tragedy.
Sure.
And it's a disgrace. But the fact is, we're killing 2,000 fewer babies per day right now than we were killing 25 years ago.
Right. In the Clinton administration, right?
In the Clinton administration.
Right.
Just go down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to win this thing regardless of who's in the White House. And I'll tell you something else. What scares me more than anything about this election is not who wins the presidency, but who wins the Senate.
Hmm.
Because if Hillary Clinton takes over, or Bernie Sanders, which I don't think Comrade Sanders will take over, but Comrade Clinton might, you know. If one of those two takes over and the Democrats gain control of the Senate, then we're in real deep trouble in this country.
Right.
And that's not a far-fetched possibility.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, depending really, like street ticket voting and what could happen, how things of that nature could turn out, there's, yeah, anything could result. I agree. And Mark, we're almost out of time here. We don't have time, but at some point, I want to look into this. Speaking of Congress and some legislation that is being considered, I don't know where this this piece of legislation happens to be, but I heard it mentioned. Actually, I mentioned the Carol Everett talk that I attended. There was a representative there of Congressman Andy Barr's group, and he was talking about this Barr being a sponsor on this piece of legislation. That's kind of what we've talked about a number of times. It's not called a personhood amendment. It's not called anything of that nature, but it's basically this protective human rights at conception, or I can't remember the name of this, but I need to dig into it. I don't know if you've heard about it, but I think we could,
yes,
we could look at that at some point, because you talk about the importance of the congressional makeup, especially with that type of legislation being considered right now. That could all go away, right? That could all go
away. Absolutely. Yeah, we're in troubled waters right here.
But all right.
I don't want people to get the impression that if
we got to run, we're running out of time, Mark. God bless you, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Talk to you next month.
All right, thank you. More to come. Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. Mark Crutcher in the last segment there. Find out more about what he's got going on over at prolifeamerica.com. And just to kind of wrap up, put a cap on what he was saying there as we ran out of time. I think it's undoubtedly important to realize that this pro-life victory that will happen is not, as he said before, going to come necessarily legislatively. There could be legislative measures that are in play, absolutely. There could be things that happen along the way that could at least maybe springboard some things in the pro-life arena, but it's really coming down to the awareness that's there, and I do believe there's a tremendous amount of awareness now, way more than there's ever been, and there's also so much more safety net at this point for women who find themselves in unplanned pregnancies and crisis pregnancy situations. And those are the heroes, as always. Those are the ones that make the greatest impact. Not necessarily the politicians, who may talk a game and then you got to question what it's really all about when it comes down to it. As Mark said, Planned Parenthood funding increased under the Bush administration. So where is it really that matters? Where is the emphasis that we need to have? It really comes down to those in the trenches, right? Those who are out there doing what they do day in and day out to provide opportunities to thwart this very unfortunate decision that takes place, and to really have an opportunity to find a place of solace, shelter, support. And they're out there, right? They're increasing, they're growing, and that is what is making the biggest difference. So let's continue to support those individuals who are out there doing things of that nature. And there's a lot of them, plenty of them you can find. So I think Mike Allen talked a little bit about this morning. I didn't actually hear that other than just a snippet, but then I found this over at my friend's Mark Shea's a page where someone had posted this with what seemed to be a disparaging sort of attitude about almost like how dare this woman, Lady Gaga, how dare she even make the claim that she's Catholic almost? And I find this horribly unfortunate that we would have a reaction against someone expressing any element of their faith. Why would we draw a distinction and say, well, this, are we saying that she's not worthy to express her Catholicism? And basically, it was an Instagram picture of a priest who visited her family's restaurant, and she said, thanks for the great homily, and thanks for the friendship and dropping by. And so, you know, obviously she's attending Mass, and she takes her faith seriously to some degree. And why would we not want to applaud that? Why would we not say, this is good, right? This is good. You're out there. You're out there as a megastar that she is, with all kinds of eyes on her. Why would we not want to say, way to go? And apparently, Father James Martin of America Magazine has applauded this, and then he's come under criticism for how dare he say that there's something good about Lady Gaga expressing her faith, or seemingly expressing her faith by saying what she said in this Instagram, as if there's something hypocritical to be seen in her, right? I think that's the message that some are wanting to send, that she's whatever, scantily clad and doing crazy dances and singing crazy songs. I don't know. And there's a problem. So if she's going to do that, well, she has no business in the church, right? Like, get that sinner out of here. If that's what she's going to be about, why would she even remotely think that she could be welcome here? Which, I mean, if that's what we're going to start doing, right? If we're going to basically say, if you're not pure enough, if you don't have it all together enough, if you're not living up the holiest of holy lives, then don't come to church? Wow, okay. It'll probably be pretty vacant. If that's the distinction we're drawing. Wait until you get it all together. When your life is perfect and you're the most exemplary Catholic you possibly can be in every possible way, and we can trust, based on what we see in your life, we can trust that you're as holy as you're supposed to be, then you're welcome here. Because, again, if that's what we're waiting for, it might be that cold day in hell that we're waiting for that, right? Because we're imperfect individuals. We're all falling short. And if we're going to criticize someone's lifestyle and say, how dare you do that and call yourself Catholic, or how dare you do that and post a picture of you and a priest friend and really only giving props to this individual and saying, thank you for the great homily and thank you for the words of encouragement and great to see you, friend. If we're going to criticize that and seem to have some problem with somebody who maybe doesn't seem to measure up because of what we see in their life, I mean, again, how do we make that decision? And who has that kind of authority or pureness? Who's able to stand in judgment in that nature? I don't get it. And I would hope that we are all kind of more concerned about our own unworthiness. And I know I talked about this, I think it was yesterday when I was talking about this Joy acronym. I had some discussion about this on my Facebook page. And this Jesus, others, and yourself, and, you know, being others focused. Well, being others focused is not being focused on their flaws, being other focused is not worrying about their sins. It's being focused on their well-being. It's being focused on their welfare, yes. It's finding ways to affirm and help them, guide them. And, you know, if I were in a situation where I was high enough profile and I had some sort of incongruity in my life, which I do, by the way, got lots of incongruities when it comes to what I want to do and how I want to express my faith and what I in reality do, because I fall into sin, I am tempted, I give in to temptation. These things happen, right? Praise God, we have reconciliation. But if because of my lifestyle or because of the way I express myself or because of being in this high-profile enough situation, if then I were to make a change, and granted, I don't know about Lady Gaga's life. You know, I've heard it. I've heard this said of other celebrities, such as Chris Farley, that he was a daily communicant. I've heard that, and struggled with demons and fought all kinds of nasty challenges and addictions, but tried, but still was just an embattled individual. So who knows? Maybe Lady Gaga has always been faithful, and she just happens to have this photo now that has gotten people upset. And if I were in that situation where all I, you know, my earnest expression of sincerity was met with nothing but criticism, yeah, it would be tough. I would say, do I even want to be a part of this? Is this what I'm going to get? Is this the reception that I can expect? Why bother? Right? I might be inclined to do that. So I think before we start this crazy degree of criticism that has happened because of this Instagram photo, we got to really think about what are the implications and ramifications of that. And if we're so pure and holy that we can make those kind of accusations, that's a point of concern, right? If what is it? Is it St. Paul? And forgive me for not knowing chapter verse here, as I say often. I was raised Baptist, then became Catholic, and all of that chapter verse stuff went out the window. All we know is that it's a reading from, right? It's a reading from somewhere in the Bible. That's all we know as Catholics. But those who say they're without sin are liars, right? If you say, if this is what you're saying, and when you criticize someone for their sin, you're saying that. You're saying you've put yourself in the judgment seat. You're able to do that. There's a lot of ramifications and implications. You got to really think about that. That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless you.